Please call the roll.
Ms. Bona.
Here.
Mr. Impelizzari.
Here.
Ms. Lapodi.
Here.
Ms. Malkin.
Here.
Mr. Ticton.
Here.
Mayor Allentuck.
Here. And we did turn on the tape, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now for a real proclamation. Proclamation of the Mayor of the Borough of Roosevelt, New Jersey. Whereas the North American monarch population has declined by more than 90% over the past two decades, and whereas the National Wildlife Federation believes that actions by local governments and their citizens can help to save the monarch butterfly, and whereas the citizens of the Borough of Roosevelt have long expressed a desire to help save the monarch butterfly, and the teachers and students at the Roosevelt Public School have led in those efforts. Now, therefore, I, Jeff Allentuck, Mayor of the Borough of Roosevelt, do hereby proclaim the month of July 2016 as Monarch Butterfly Month in the Borough. Appoint Jill Lapodi as the Monarch Ambassador to the Borough of Roosevelt. Call upon the Environmental Commission to assist in restoring monarch habitats and educating residents as to how they can help in this endeavor. Challenge our residents to create habitats for the monarch butterfly on their respective properties. Direct our public works staff to plant a monarch-friendly garden in front of the borough hall in the area between the front and side parking lots. Direct our public works and utilities staffs to identify opportunities for revised mowing programs and locations suitable for milkweed planting. Direct our administrative staff to obtain and make available to the public a supply of milkweed seeds. Direct those persons involved in the invasive species removal program, funded by or under the direction of the borough, to use their best efforts to make it possible to reestablish native milkweed and nectar plants to the cleared landscape and to plant milkweed in said landscape when feasible. I also thank the teachers and staff at the Roosevelt Public School for their past efforts in raising public awareness of the threats to the monarch butterfly. And I thank the students for their efforts in planting native milkweeds and nectar plants in school gardens. Ms. Tyers, would you kindly present Dr. Lapodi with the emblems of her office as Monarch Ambassador?
Right next to you.
Oh.
But I have emblems for you as
yes,
well.
But
mine are pink.
Yes, they are.
However, Jeff.
I see.
The blue.
We have the same
schemer. Yes, and this is our first milkweed plant.
It's donated
by June Counterman. June was most successful at growing milkweed in her backyard. And this is actually, she took a photo of a monarch on her milkweed plant and then blew it up and cut it out.
Oh, so wow, that very is, nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a small one.
I would also like to point out that our Public Works Department, a.k.a. Kelly, is responsible for the monarch butterfly-shaped cupcakes that we have here. She called me and said that she was making them, and I said, how are you making them in the shape of a butterfly? And she said, well, I have a butterfly-shaped muffin pan. To which my response was, yes, of course you do. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Do we have any public comment or questions on the consent agenda? Yes, Mr. Alton.
On the authorization of additional funds to professional engineers?
Yes.
What prompted that?
They have done a substantial, I think Jill's better qualified to answer this, they had done a substantial amount of work. They had come up with some plan options that they want to move forward on. So we had basically funded the majority of what they were going to charge to do the initial work.
So it was like additional work?
Yes. Yes. Well, I think there's also some overage from the prior period, right?
Right. So we decided this time that we were going to have both a water and sewer engineer and a general engineer for the rest of the things in town, like streets and roads and things. And so Carmela Roberts continues as our regular borough engineer, but R3M, Michael Samuel and Manuel Ponte, are taking on the water and sewer issues. We allocated initially $25,000 for them to undertake a study of our existing plant and provide recommendations on mostly the sewer plant because the water plant's in good shape. And they have provided us with a report and some recommendations. Going forward, what they want to do is include their engineering fees as part of our application to an NJEIT loan for completing the work at the sewer plant. But this initial work couldn't be put towards the NJEIT because this was simply a scoping of what needs to be done. So they went over the first $25,000. They need an additional amount to take us to the next fiscal year.
Any other public questions or comments? Would somebody like to introduce the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion from the council?
Yeah, I have a question. Is Joe McGrath completely replacing Ralph Kirkland?
Or yes.
Okay, so Ralph is no longer?
That is correct.
Okay. So is it still Joe Marini? John Marini,
yes. Yeah. The reason we're doing this is that we had appointed him a zoning officer, and the court in Millstone, well, I'm not going to go into my feelings about it, but nonetheless refused to allow him to write certain tickets because we hadn't specifically designated him as also being code enforcement. So we're just making them happy. There's no other comment. Please call the roll.
Ms. Bona.
Aye.
Mr. Impelazzari.
Aye.
Ms. Lapote.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Tickton.
Aye.
And would somebody like to introduce Ordinance 16-006?
So move.
Second.
Any discussion or questions at the table? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Bona.
Aye.
Mr. Impelazzari.
Aye.
Ms. Lapote.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Tickton.
Aye.
Public hearing and adoption of this ordinance will be held on May 23rd, 7 p.m.
That's not in zone at all, right?
No, that one is not, no.
Okay. Next one is?
Next one is, yeah, technically, yeah.
Would somebody like to introduce 16-007?
Introduce Ordinance 16-007, Ordinance amending Chapter 33, Redevelopment Plan of the Code of the Borough of Roosevelt.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion at the table?
Would you like me to explain that?
Sure.
I don't know if everyone knows. This ordinance does two things. One is in our last ordinance amendment, we adopted, although provisions were inconsistent with the master plan, we did a resolution explaining that. But it should be in the plan itself, so we have to explain those reasons by ordinance. And also, there's modifications to the actual plan that are suggested by the planner in terms of, and he did so in consultation with the Monmouth County engineer regarding site triangle, yeah, and some small changes regarding parking and access.
You all get that? Would you please call the roll?
Ms. Bona.
Aye.
Mr. Impelazzari.
Aye.
Ms. Lapote.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Tickton.
Aye.
Public hearing on that will also be held on May 23rd, correct?
I think this one's going 45 days.
Yeah, it's a redevelopment, so technically.
That's what I thought.
Goes to the planning board first, so 45 days.
So that'll go to planning board, and the public hearing will be advertised at a later date.
Right. Come to committee reports. Councilman Impelazzari.
Okay, got a short report this evening. Branch pickup, we had that, and that went well, according to schedule. We had to wait for some rain to get out of the way, but that went over. A reminder that big garbage day is on Monday the 16th. One last thing is I'd like to thank Eitan Grunwald for donating a very nice new television for the Borough Hall. Thank you.
Do I get to say on what channels you can tune in?
First of all, the weekend we part. You know, the borough is as a historic district is on the itinerary for the weekend in Old Monmouth program, which is always held the first weekend in May. In this case, it was April 30th and May 1st. And we had I was at the school. Gail Hunt was there part of the time, and I was there the rest of the time on Saturday and Sunday. And we had 12 people came around on Saturday, and another 6 people came around on Sunday. Despite the rain, so they seem to like the tour and see the mural and other exhibits at the school. So this is the third year we've been doing that, and it's, you know, the county sort of acknowledged that Roosevelt is a historic place in the county, which, you know, now seems like an established fact, rather than, even though we don't date from the Revolutionary War. And the other thing that again relating to the county that I went to was the Monmouth County Community Development Block Grant Committee. We had his special meeting. If this should be of interest to Mr. Clark particularly, because when he was on the one of his concerns was the way the nonprofits were basically, you know, the both municipalities and public authorities and nonprofits are competing for this pool of money, and since the only ones who vote on it are municipalities, the nonprofits tend to not get terribly much. So what the committee has done this year has been to have a 15% set aside so that the various nonprofit agencies in the county who have asked for funds through this, you know, are able to have at least that piece of the funding reserved for them. So that's something new, and I said something that Bob had been very concerned about at the outset when he saw Solar Village not getting any money. Those other people were just voting for money for their road funds. One of the difficulties is that since we don't have any designated low-income areas, we're not eligible for the road funding the way many of the municipalities are. So the only thing we're eligible for if we have accessibility projects, that we're eligible for. But otherwise, most of the stuff we're not eligible for. Okay. And Eitan, did you want to add anything about what the Environmental Commission is doing? Stacey,
thank you, Michael.
About it. That's right.
Received a report that we're all beaver deceiver believers now. Eitan, would you like to?
Sure. As many of you may know, when the Environmental Commission kicked off the Environmental Resources Inventory 2 years ago and asked for public input on the priority areas for the community as far as our environment, biggest concern expressed had to do with the rising water level in the streams. And in response, the Environmental Commission and members of the Borough Council reached out to the Assunpink Wildlife Management Area to see what could be done about that, since there may be multiple factors affecting the water level, but the prime suspect was the beaver dam located in the Assunpink Wildlife Management Area. So they went to work researching solutions, and the most effective one to date seems to be something that's affectionately known as the beaver deceiver. Essentially, it is a pipe that is run through the dam to help drain the water, and it fools the beavers into not recognizing where the water is going. Otherwise, they have a tendency to try to just stop it up. They mobilized people and a budget and materials, equipment, first, they got rid of, or they removed a number of beavers in order to have naive beavers coming in, so that, because it's true.
I believe you, every word of it.
The idea being that once the flow device, as it's technically called, is installed, it works more effectively if there aren't any beavers around who remember the dam as it used to be. And so they did that over the winter, and then about 10 days ago, 12 days ago, the beaver deceiver was installed, and the water is several feet lower than it has been, and this should control. And the important thing about this is that it's meant to be a permanent solution, mm-hmm. that simply going and pulling out sticks from the dam, which is, by the way, the length of 2 football fields. is only very temporary. The beavers just come and repair any damage that's done to the dam, but this way they're fooled into thinking the dam is working fine, but just the water level is kept lower at a safer level. So that's done. We may have to do they may have to do some fine-tuning of it in future, the important thing is that there is an attempt at a permanent solution to this, and hopefully it'll work.
Thank you.
And the tape system is working fine.
You've just cursed it.
Deborah, do you have anything for us?
No, I don't. Thank you, Mayor.
Counselor?
I have nothing tonight, Mayor.
Get out of here.
He's Malkin.
Not too much. I spoke to George Lang, and we'll begin the municipal budget, working on the municipal budget around May 18th. And also, I requested that we allocate, if the council is okay with this, $400 to buy a grill for our July 4th celebrations, because every year we either rent one or we have one donated, but we're always scurrying around looking for a grill. And I thought they were a lot more expensive, but they're really only $400 for the correct size. And apparently it also folds up, so storage won't be too much of a problem. And George said the $400 was not a problem at all. So if it's okay with the council, I'd like to give the go-ahead to purchase the grill.
I have a question. This has come up before, and the reason they didn't purchase it in the past was
storage
and maintenance. Storage, maintenance, and cleaning, I think, were the big ones.
Well, it gets cleaned after we use it anyway. We never return it, whether it's rented or donated. We never return it dirty, so it does get clean. I think the main problem was storage, but
yeah. And maintenance was also an issue, because the lines have to be cleaned out yearly.
Well,
if we have somebody to do it, it's fine.
I mean, I don't think that's too much of a problem to find someone to, you know, to volunteer, of course, to do that. But at least the main problem was their size, and now they have fold up. So it would be easier than every year trying to find a grill. So. Does everyone think that's feasible?
Where would you store it?
Well, you know, I can't tell you because I really don't know the exact size, but I don't think it's very big. When April might know whether the size once it's folded.
The length is the same. It's an 8-burner grill. So the length of 4 of the chairs folds down. The legs all folded, so it becomes
compact.
So it's the front row here.
Maybe a little longer.
Yeah.
Is that where you're suggesting to store it?
Well, no, but now that you bring it up.
Chairs on top.
You put it right on top of it.
Well, we also have the mowers and the snow blowers and all the rest of that junk. I'm sorry, and all the rest of that high quality equipment. Apologies. All right, we'll find a place to put it if you want it.
My main concern is that it's going to walk.
Could we chain it to something? The lock?
Attach it to something, yeah. Sure. I mean, if the lawn equipment is secure, I don't see why grill wouldn't be.
Well, the lawn equipment is
used once a year. Somebody's not going to see it.
Lawn equipment is stored either in the third bay or basically behind the fire truck. So that's not going anywhere.
As long as it's secure.
It's probably heavy. I mean, I can't imagine how many people would get wind of, like, oh, there's a grill. Let's try to steal it.
No, our clones
all disappear. Well, that's a fun thing to steal, I think.
I'd steal a grill.
Could I ask what the total budget is for the 4th of July celebration?
It's usually about $1,000.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up, but I thought we'd wait till after the grill vote. There's been discussion about, I know I've had discussions with people about wanting a petting zoo and a couple of other things that they were going to charge for, and I expressed my thoughts that historically the town has put on a party for the town, and we've paid for everything. And my biggest concern, and I've raised it a couple of times, is that I don't want, I mean, if you want to have a raffle, that's fine. If you want to have something that's only for big people, as in adults, and charge for it, that's fine. But anything that a child would want to play in or use, I think we either ought to pay for or not have, because I don't want any child sitting there saying, I really want to go in and pet the sheep or whatever and not be able to get in.
I had nothing to do with that, so you'd have to discuss. I mean, I agree. We've never charged for anything at a picnic unless it's a raffle or something that you would. You
so it's a budget question. I assume that you guys had talked about the amount. It was like $600 or something?
Yeah, the pony ride in Petting Zoo was $595 for 2 hours.
$600, right, okay.
I thought that some of that was coming from the fire budget.
Yeah, fire department already, or fire company, I guess I should say, already put out the $100 deposit to bring them, and the thought was charging a small amount for each kid that went in, but... Which is
specifically what I'm objecting to.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So if it's a cost of $600 and we're going to buy a grill, which is another $400.
Well, the grill, I don't think this $400 was coming out of this year's July 4th celebration. It was sort of like an additional $400 because it will be for every year.
I'm not objecting to it. I'm just suggesting that what we're going to do is...
It's not as if it's lowering it to $600 for a total celebration because we're going to buy the grill.
No, I'm making a completely different suggestion, which is that if... Historically, we spent about $1,000, and in order to get a grill, and in order to make sure that kids can do whatever they want without having to worry about whether mommy can pay for it or mommy's around or whatever, or daddy's around, that we just say, okay, fine, if the total budget is $2,000, let's vote on $2,000. And so I'm really asking, are there other things that we're not aware of other than the petting zoo and the...
Wasn't the dunk tank? Is that a charge?
Yeah, the PTA is charging, but you and I discussed, Kate's, if a little kid wants to come throw a ball, Kate's not going to tell him no.
Yeah, the compromise that I suggested on things like that was if you're 15 and over, you pay. If you're younger than that and your parent is not standing there, you don't pay. But I can't imagine there's a lot of kids who want or would effectively dunk anybody under the age of 10.
Except
that we're really worried about.
Except their own parent.
In that case, the parent can pay for it.
Does the mayor go in the dunk tank?
The mayor would go in the dunk tank if he was here, but he's not going to be.
So do you want me to try to increase this year's budget to cover that?
Well, that's what I'm suggesting. I'm asking if, if that...
I don't think it would be a problem. There never seems to be a problem with recreation when I ask George about extra money.
Okay.
Additional funds.
Anybody on the council have... thoughts about it?
I mean, I'll check. I can't say that without checking with him exactly, but I don't foresee a problem.
All right.
So we're going to cover the ponies and the dunk tank for 15-year-olds and under.
Right. And then we have, and the food and all the rest of that is covered in the original 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So does somebody want to make a motion for spending $2,000 to $2,500, subject only to our CFO not having a coronary over it?
So moved.
Oh, okay, second.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay.
So that probably will set a precedent, though, that we, I guess, spend that every year.
But I think we've spent...
We're not going to pay for the grill another year.
No,
once we got the grill,
yeah.
We got the grill.
And the town pretty much paid for it for the last 50 years with the exception of the last two.
Well, yeah, because we used to have... We paid for beer, we paid for fireworks, we paid for entertainment.
Right.
And we had
so it wasn't $1,000, but that was when $1,000 went a lot further.
Exactly, it was equivalent. Okay, and I was not at the planning board meeting, so if someone else who was there would like to report, if there is anything to report.
What happened at the planning board meeting was the sign was approved for the Senior Citizens Housing Corporation, so the village, the two signs were approved, all the requirements were met.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
End of report.
Thank you. Dr. Lapone?
I have been working on trying to get the ad for part-time help for Toby advertised in various places where we might attract somebody who knows something about water and sewer, would like to work with a licensed operator so that they could get the number of hours that they need so that they could sit for the license. I was able to get it advertised by the New Jersey Water Environment Association. Someone suggested that I contact Rutgers because Rutgers provides continuing education for water and sewer operators, but they got back to me and said, we always advertised at the NJWEA, and so we've already covered that. I also contacted Peggy Gallos at the AEA, since they were so kind to bring folks in to talk with us, and she said that she would also advertise that part-time position for us. Of course, contacting Peggy Gallos, she then said, but, you know, Roosevelt has not applied for membership in the AEA. And
new business.
Okay. The AEA is the Association of Environment Authorities, but it's basically all the water and sewer operators in the state.
Municipal ones,
yes. No. So we'll discuss the membership in under new business. But today I went over to meet with the East Windsor Municipal Utilities Authority to discuss a shared service agreement with them to provide, you know, we have our shared service with Hightstown, but they have a limited amount of equipment. The East Windsor MUA is a little bit larger, has a lot more people. If we could have a shared service agreement with them, it would provide us with perhaps some preventive maintenance work, but also a backup in case there's an emergency and Hightstown can't be here at our emergency.
They also have better equipment, right?
They have cameras. They have devices that will, you park it over your valve and it turns the valve and then it turns the valve, so you can have a valve maintenance program. One of our problems with our valves is that they hadn't been turned in, you know, 70 years, and then when you open them up, they never close again. And so this would be for those valves that we've replaced. We would have a regular opening and closing of the valves. They could help us with flushing hydrants. There's a number of things that they could help us with. They are on board with helping us. I brought to them a version of the shared service agreement that we had with Hightstown, and Rich Brand said, well, you know, we have just signed one with Cranberry. It doesn't look quite like this, and I want to use our Cranberry one as the template because that's already been through our utility commissioners and also through the mayor. So he's going to take what I applied him and put it in their format and then get it back to us. So the costs, we discussed the costs for hourly wage for this kind of person, that kind of person, a supervisor, an operator. We discussed what kind of equipment they have and how much they charge for a backhoe or for a mud pump in the event that they helped us with a water main break. And so we'll see back from them what they can provide to us. And at that point, we'll need to have our attorney look at it. One of the questions that was raised is who covers them in terms of insurance when their workers are here in Roosevelt. And he said that under their GIF, this question had come up already with Cranberry, under their GIF, their workers are covered by their insurance. He raised a question about where do we keep our spare parts? Do we have this and that for pumps? And I said, I don't really know. Toby would be the right person to ask. And so there'll be, I'm sure, more meetings and more specifics. But I wanted you to know that we are pursuing that shared service agreement. So I mentioned to him that we wanted to get a part-timer for helping Toby, and that I contacted AEA, and he said, you know, next year might be a good time to join AEA. He is the head of a committee that's working on pooling of purchasing for the AEA. And at that point, we might be able to buy our chemicals in a larger pool, buy our pumps, valves, things that are necessary to operate a water and sewer plant through this pooled purchasing. So
We discussed that when we had the AEA meeting here, right?
Yes, okay. And they were not yet ready to put it in place. He thinks by next year they'll be ready, and that might be the right time to join. So,
what are they doing? Developing? They're developing a cooperative.
Yes,
what they're doing.
That's okay. Exactly what they're doing. So we can discuss the AEA membership, but I'll just give you a little hint about this one. Litter pickup. We had a litter pickup on May 1st, and in the bills that we paid earlier, you'll note that $500 went to the Roseville Public School because of the folks that participated in the litter pickup. I was a little worried that Roseville Arts Project wasn't on the bills list, but they didn't sign their voucher in time to get it in this. They will also earn $500 since we picked up litter in the rain last Sunday. And there is a Roseville Arts Project open meeting for the public to propose events for next year. It's on May 15th at 10 a.m. Right here. So if you're an artist and you'd like to participate and you'd like to curate a show, that would be the time to propose it.
I'm sorry, May 15th at
10 a.m. here.
Thank you.
From 10 to 11 is the public portion where anybody can propose any kind of project. And then at 11 o'clock, the Roseville Arts Project Board gets to work on coming up with their schedule of events for next year's shows.
I won't be here, but how does the council feel about proposing as a wrap project doing something with this room? I mean, we've talked about it for years. Painting a mural, it's such a dull, ugly room for a town full of artists and a town full of history. It's the most drab room. I don't know if they'd be interested in it, but it would certainly, it wouldn't take much to make this room look better. Does anybody have an objection to that?
So let's see if they have any idea, if anyone has any ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I can't propose it. I won't be there, but I'll be away. But
which day is that, Sunday?
Sunday, yes.
Sunday at 10.
I also would like them to do a mural and maybe a graffiti art mural at the water plant because we have this very old well house number one, and it'd be really kind of a perfect thing to jazz up.
In view of the fact that since it is an historically important town, we're not allowed to take it down, even though it does nothing with this one. So we have a cinder block house that.
And we're not taking
keep
this down, so
right.
We could only
yeah.
improve it.
I think that's all.
Well, thank you very much. There being no old business, you can now talk about AEA membership.
So AEA membership is $1,300 a year.
Is what?
$1,300 a year. And then I know we just voted $2,000 for the 4th of July celebration. So, I know, $1,300. Well, But if we can get into a pooled ability to buy things, then it might be not a bad idea to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But $1,300 is a lot of money for a professional membership in an organization.
Do you think it would balance out with the eventual savings on supplies?
But you're saying that we would be able to start participating in that now or until only next year?
A year.
Wait for a year.
So if we waited a year and then joined next year, there'd be some saving that we could point to counterbalance the cost.
What are the other benefits of membership?
Well, they have, it's all the professionals that are involved in water and sewer. So, Toby basically operates all by himself out here. Membership in this organization gets you to talk with other people who operate water and sewer plants. And they have an annual conference where they bring in speakers on the latest water and sewer developments. I did attend as their guest last year because they had a panel discussion on privatization of water and sewer. And it was a fairly interesting session. But you have to go to Atlantic City. And the cost to attend if you're not a guest of AEA is like $500. So, you know, if you joined for $1,300 and you were able to get in to the conference, you could get the latest on disinfection.
They didn't charge us this year, did they?
They did not charge us. We were their guests. Now, Peggy Gellos, who is the executive director, had a strategy, and her strategy is to provide some technical assistance and some services to towns that are maybe considering membership, and kind of say, well, see what you'd get if you were a member. You could have this anytime.
So that was our free trip to Disney to get us to buy the condo.
Well, yeah, so it was a free trip to a discussion about privatization of water and sewer.
Sewer plants in Atlantic City, yeah.
Yeah.
Disneyland would have been better. But.
Well, which is was fascinating for me.
Me too.
But so every year they have new topics, and as a member, of course, you can suggest topics, and you get a little monthly journal of water and sewer topics. I know it doesn't sound very exciting, but
actually it is. Can we join? I would be willing to join now if we could make the topic the amortization of sewer rates on privately purchased sewer plants.
We could suggest it.
Okay.
Do you think Toby would be interested in this as a resource? Would he take advantage of the conference and the meetings and all the information that's out there?
I'm not sure Toby would. He does take advantage of the continuing ed at Rutgers. He does take advantage of this NJWEA, the Water Environment Association. And the Water Environment Association is also a great thing, and we do belong to them, but it's only $300 a year. And one of the things that they have is one of those listening devices that you can use on the road to see if the pipes underneath are leaking. So I'm all for borrowing that thing and going out and trying it in some roads where we think we have leaks. I mean, they have stuff that you can check out like a lending library. AEA doesn't do that. AEA is a professional association. One of the other things AEA does is they lobby the legislature. So if there's something we want to lobby for, they can, and we convince them that this is something that's good for all of New Jersey, they can represent us. But NJWEA does not do any lobbying. They're strictly, water stuff.
So your penultimate proposal is that we simply do this next year?
I think we should probably do it next year when we would get the benefit of that joining that pool for purchasing. $1,300, I mean, that buys a lot of stuff at the water and sewer.
That's why I said, do you think it will balance out? Even if it takes a year and you break even, then that's good because you still have all the other advantages. But if you're not going to break even,
I know.
Well, if we're going
to. Toby's not going to talk.
Something to
if
consider.
If we do it after the purchasing contract.
Yeah, you don't have to bid out your chemicals and
right.
All that other stuff, so you have the bidding expense.
Yep.
That you'll be, as long as you're a legal member of the cooperative,
mm-hmm.
then you can just purchase it right under their contract.
Yes.
And it saves. It can be a substantial savings.
So would you like to make a motion?
Won't exist until next year.
Would you like to make a motion that we don't do anything on your suggestion?
Well, I don't think we need a motion to that, but why don't we wait till they make the cooperative as a thing and then say that really is our ticket, that's really why we want to join.
Would their year be the calendar year?
That's what I was going to ask. Is it January or July or...?
I don't know that.
Interesting, but what is the year they're talking about so we
right.
can figure out when we want to join?
Rich Brand was optimistic that they'd be able to do it by January, but he was optimistic they'd be able to do it by last January. So,
okay. Stay tuned.
I don't suppose there are any grants or scholarships offered, something we could apply for.
No.
for a discount because we're so tiny?
Well, that's what we asked them to do when they were here. We said, why don't you have a dues structure that takes into account the number of people in the town, like number of connections, the numbers. I mean, and so they said, well, we do have the sliding scale, and we fall into the smallest of the group, but it's $1,300.
That's our price.
Right, that's our price. Other larger are paying $7,000, $15,000 to join the Passaic Valley Sewerage Commission, which is basically most of Essex and Bergen County. You know, $15,000, they don't blink an eye to pay that kind of dues. But for us, $1,300 is a lot.
We can also not blink an eye and just
yeah.
And suffer.
Yeah.
Is there more? Thank you. We now come to public comment, the opportunity for the public to make comments or ask questions. Would anybody, Bert, could you
yes.
please come to the microphone?
It's going to sound silly. Dunk tag.
Could you please come to the microphone?
And tell us who you are?
Your name and your address.
I'm Bert Ellentuck. I live at 22 Homestead Lane.
Thank you.
And the question is, on the dunk tank, do you get a lifeguard standing by?
The dunk tank is a PTA function. I don't know anything about it other than they're planning on having one.
Oh, could you find out?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
1 second. Do we need a lifeguard? Well, you look that way, I'm asking you.
If presumably they have insurance covering, but you know, the dunk tanks I've seen, you can stand up, and so I don't know
yeah.
if someone's going to drown.
We could require an attendee there and
yeah, we
waivers.
Could have, yes, we could have certainly waivers. Yes,
and life vests.
Yeah, that would be the easiest way. Yeah,
but we're not. I mean, it's put on by the PTA on school property under the auspices of the Board of Education. So I'm not sure we have any either input or responsibility at all, other than you know they're lending
yeah.
us land and they've got something sitting there. Anybody else? From the is this after you, after you?
Go ahead.
Harry, please.
I just had a question.
Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. Last night, I noticed there was a helicopter flying up and down my street, very low, with like a searchlight,
mm-hmm.
and I wondered, you know.
It was searching for something.
What are they
that's
doing?
All. That's all we know. We called the state police. We called the...
Oh, okay, because I went on the Facebook page to see.
We put that up as the most likely event.
But then, you know what? I saw them come along the creek and with a light shining down there. I thought maybe it's the spraying for mosquitoes, and something smelled a little chemical kind of thing. So I don't know. I thought maybe it was the Mosquito Commission spray?
They were awfully high when they were behind my house.
Were they?
Yeah, and they had searchlights. That was a state police helicopter.
It was state
yeah,
police.
It was probably that convict that was.
Oh,
no, he was down in Galloway.
Well, he wasn't that eventually, but they were looking for him all around.
Okay, because
but we did have that woman, the woman who was missing in Monroe.
Yeah,
and despite what people say on Facebook, Monroe is about a mile and a 2 miles from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And she's been missing for, I think, 48 hours, so it was quite possible
yeah.
to get in.
Yeah, there's been a few
okay,
things.
So nobody, notified us that they were doing anything.
Nope. And we called them, and we looked at their informational services, and they basically said nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
They were checking maybe they were checking the effectiveness of beaver disease.
At night? So they don't spray at night for mosquitoes, I don't think, do they?
Yep.
They weren't spraying.
Yeah.
It was
right.
a police helicopter.
Yeah.
I mean, we were down here. We saw it come down.
Yeah. No, I thought it was... some kind of crime.
Ms. Sook?
I apologize in advance that my voice is going. April Sook, 9 Tamara Drive. I just have two questions for Forth. One, do you want me to take the fire company Sam's Club card and go buy the grill and just give the receipt to Anna?
I want you and Eric and our council person to figure out what to do.
Okay. And the second point of clarity was
in you can just put in a purchase order through our purchasing agent, Anna.
Okay. And the second thing is the parade. So I heard from a couple of people, including Peggy and Michael, that there might be some limitations on who we're allowed to invite. We would really like to send out invitations sooner than later, as so companies that are invited have an opportunity to discuss the invitation at their business meetings. So
the town has never put limitations on who can go in the parade. We've had bands from the Jamesburg Correctional Facility. We've had nearby fire departments. We've had military marching bands. We've had the World War II veterans. We've had the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts. I think we had brownies. I don't think we ever had Girl Scouts here. We had little kids on bicycles. We had John's Towing. We had a tractor. What am I missing, guys? We've had everything in the world. So I'm not quite sure what the limitation is supposed to be.
No, the limitation was not, it was not placed on who, but how many, because we had quite a few comments and complaints last year that it was more of a fire company parade than a Roosevelt parade. So it was never stipulated that who could be invited. It was to limit the number of other fire companies participating in the parade to maybe three others beside Roosevelt, rather than...
So the complaint was that the parade was too good?
Pardon me? No, that the parade wasn't a Roosevelt parade, but a fire department parade.
I thought the issue was the sirens.
Well, there were two issues.
The sirens got settled, right?
The sirens got settled, and then but many people said it was more of a fire department parade than a Roosevelt parade. So we tried to limit it to three other fire departments beside Roosevelt rather than six or seven beside Roosevelt that was originally.
Which fire companies do you want to invite and why?
We wanted to invite the neighboring mutual aid companies, which would be Hightstown, Millstone, Hope, East Winter 1 and 2, and then Morganville and Tinton Falls because they made sizable donations to the town. Not to say that all of them will accept. They're the same seven we invited last year, and not everybody showed up. I know Tinton Falls, when I spoke to a couple of their members a couple months back, were looking forward to not bringing their engine but their beastly brush truck. So the apparatus themselves might be smaller than they were last year. And I had also mentioned to Michael that there's really no need for the chief's vehicles to be in the parade because they're just expeditions. Mm-hmm. So if it's a number of vehicles and wear and tear on the road, we can certainly ask them to limit one apparatus per company to whoever our RSVPs.
So then you're talking about invitations to six, of which you're saying four is likely to show up?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
which is sounding pretty much like what you're saying.
Yeah, I thought, well, three and Roosevelt made four. But originally at the meeting, as quite a few others were discussed.
If they limit it to one piece of apparatus per
company, it won't be over. You don't want something with just like one, unending army that just keeps going around.
Right,
you know,
which is
through.
What it was.
Moderation in all things.
Exactly.
Talking about five trucks, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Does anybody have an objection to five trucks?
I mean, my only concern, if I send out invitations and, you know, seven say yes, am I supposed to turn around and tell two of them no?
No.
I think they're each sending one piece of apparatus. They're each sending one truck.
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters.
You still have eight trucks, seven plus ours.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it matters.
That's really not bad.
And
we just wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
But originally it wasn't one truck from each. And so there were quite a few people upset last year that it was more of a fire department event. So we were trying to limit it to three plus Roosevelt, four plus Roosevelt. But as long as they bring one truck each, that's more manageable.
So don't invite more than seven. Tell them none of them can bring more than one truck. And then the maximum you're going to get is the amount of time is seven and more likely four.
Okay. I just didn't want it to make sure that I was clear before I sent invitations out. Okay, thank you.
I mean, I'm assuming from the comments I've heard that's okay.
I think that's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's a good compromise.
One of the 4th of July thing I want to mention. We're getting this historic marker, which we had approved a few meetings ago, from the Jewish American Society for Historic Preservation. They expect it to be coming sometime soon, and he was thinking we have an event that we can install it. So I mentioned that we have the annual 4th of July, so he thought that would be a good event. So hopefully we can have it by then, and we can have, you know, a little dedication of the sign as part of the 4th of July program.
Like the tree for the power company.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And
a few appropriate remarks. Since
we've never had the opening of the water plant officially, maybe we could have an open house at the water plant on the 4th of July also. I mentioned it to Toby. He said it'll be ready by then.
Could we fill all the fire trucks? public portion. Anybody else in the public?
You want to stand up to talk? Or?
Come up. Please give your name, your address.
My name is Bob Cragen.
Into the microphone, please.
I'm Bob Cragen. I'm from 7th School Lane. Mm-hmm. In Roosevelt here. I've been here since 85. Some of you know me from before. Sometimes most of you I don't know. Some of you I know well. I've got a problem at the moment that I need some help
with. Please speak to the council.
I'm getting older and sillier. Okay. And not older and wiser. And actually, I'm getting older and kind of losing it. So I need help, if you don't mind. You folks are aware of all the houses that have been abandoned in Roosevelt. How many houses is it now, latest count? Have abandoned in Roosevelt.
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
The list was about four or five of them.
Five, maybe. Okay.
And so I would ask you to help me so I don't have the same problem. I'm kind of not at the end of my limits, but I'm sort of getting close. I manage to pay my bills. I schedule everything on paper, on calendars. I'm good. You can ask your tax collector. I've paid my taxes never late once since 85. And I pay the water and sewer on time, I think, again, never late since 85. I'm trying to be responsible as a responsible citizen. For Roosevelt, I haven't done too much, but I actually worked on the phone book, the recent phone book, with Mrs. Block, and was able to help her get some computer things done to be able to overcome the last roadblock from getting the Roosevelt phone book done. I'm proud of that, and I use it every day. That said, I've got a problem that's come up now with my trailers in front of my house, which I'm quite happy to be respectful to you folks and to the town, to the rules, and to the zoning ordinances and the zoning officer. But I don't really know what to do. And that's why I need some guidance from the council and some guidance from you folks, better minds than mine. Maybe you can assign someone to work with me, with the council, to be able to understand that I'm very happy to conform to whatever rules you have as best I'm able, but I would like you to respect the fact that basically I'm old and losing it and trying to keep it together and would like your help to be able to, what I'm going to call now, to do an orderly shutdown of my, I guess, house in Roosevelt here, if that's what's called for, because I can't keep up with things. To me, it's enough just to be able to put the food on the table, take the garbage out, mow the grass, and
what is it that
manage.
You're asking us to do, sir?
Specifically, to allow me to have time, if the zoning officer wants to be strict about the rules. Last time this came up, some of you were here for that, and I worked with the zoning officer. He was trying to show me that there was some rule that was making my trailers illegal or wrong because someone had complained about them. And I went very diligently and dutifully to the town hall here and looked at all the records and searched everything very carefully. And I couldn't come up with anything that was illegal. And that was what I explained to you folks at the time, told to the council at the time, and I explained that also to the zoning officer, and he basically relaxed about it. And as these things do, they have a life of their own, and at some point, if there's no grounds for a legal action, it goes away, and it went away. That was a few years ago, quite a few years ago, actually. For some reason, we have a new zoning officer who's very actively involved in enforcing the rules and enforcing the law, and I'm for that. As a good citizen, we all want to obey the rules. We all want to obey the laws. We want to function well. We want the town to be beautiful. We want the property values to increase, not decrease, and for that reason, things have to have standards and rules and laws. That said, what I'm specifically looking for from you folks is some guidance to the zoning officer, if that's appropriate or called for, to allow me to have a little slack in this matter so that I can work things out with my trailers, either moving them to the back of the yard if that's what's necessary, or actually getting rid of them if that's what's necessary, moving them somewhere else, or moving out of Roosevelt if that's the final step that I have to take to be able to manage. Right now, I'm suffering from an addiction. I'm addicted to stuff. It may sound like a crazy thing to say as an addiction, but it's really true. I've got more stuff than I know what to do with. I have more toys than I can play with, okay, as an adult.
Have you been cited by the zoning officer?
No, I haven't been cited at all. I was in here paying my taxes the other day, and he said, oh, you're Bob Craig, and I have to talk to you about some things. And he said, well, you got to move your cars to the other side of the street. And I explained to him, no, that doesn't work because the garbage pickup is for both the recyclables and the regular garbage is on that side of the street where the sign isn't. We need to move the sign to the side of the street where the garbage is.
I think actually we've been through this before,
sure.
But my suggestion is we will follow up with the zoning officer,
okay.
Find out what it is he's enforcing, and if he says there's some slack, I don't know why he would come after you in particular. If there's not, we'll let him do his job, but we'll certainly
sure.
talk to him and take it under advisement.
My point is that I'm quite willing to work with you. I'd like you to grant me some slack based on my many years of
We're not in a position
whatever.
To grant slack or not grant slack. I can talk to the zoning officer and find out where he is and see what he's doing about this, and we can figure out if you haven't been cited, then clearly he,
maybe
at least
no
to
problem.
Date, hasn't determined that you should be. So
well, I hope that stays that way. The problem, I'm very fearful, is I can't afford to pay his fine. I can't afford to build a $10,000 shed in the backyard, which seems to be where he's pushing me. What he's saying is that it's his interpretation now.
That's
not
his job. I do want to point out we do have a 5-minute limit.
Oh,
you're
sorry,
on to minute
sure.
seven.
Thank you.
But we will.
Thank
I
you,
will
sir.
Talk to him and find out what's going on.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else from the public who has any questions or anything to say? No? That being the case, do I have a motion? Oh, I'm sorry, do we need a closed session?
Not that I know.
Do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. I believe that there are additional butterflies over on the counter over there.